This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, this is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
Hey, welcome to another glorious episode of This is Gross. This episode was recorded at Bank of America Stadium in our luxurious studio, and it's with one of my best friends, one of my top three teammates of all time, longtime quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, Jake Delhomme. If you're a Panther fan at all, he's got to hold a special place in your heart, because when you think of successful games, you got to think of this guy. So I was just so happy to get him for 20 minutes to sit down and talk with me, and it was a great excuse to use this show as a reason to do it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is Gross with the one, the only, Jake Delhomme. Peace. Are you going to do your famous Vanilla Ice on this episode? No?
You're recording, huh? I figured you were.
Jake Delhomme, back in the house. Finally.
Yes, it's been a while. I've been trying to come back.
Yeah, right.
Well, we had plans to come back in 2011 during the season.
Okay, 2 years ago.
I ended up getting picked up by Houston. That was unexpected.
And then we saw you after we whooped you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And then last year.
Okay.
Whatever reason, I just couldn't, but we spent the weekend in New Orleans when
yeah.
you went down to New
convenient.
Orleans.
Convenient.
Yes, exactly, and beat them.
I've been saying you need to come back for years, and you're like, Jordan, I got the horses, and I just...
What's
I
up?
I can't get up there.
It's good. We're busy. We're busy. You got kids?
Yeah, you got the girls. They're growing up. You're back home. You're living in Bow Bridge, right? Hometown.
That's right.
You got your house built, the horse deal. Don't you own some banks? Is that right?
No, I don't own some banks. I don't own some banks.
What is it?
I'm an advisory board member for Mid-South Bank.
Oh, that's like an adult job.
It is.
Right there.
I actually have to try to speak correctly.
Do you have a suit?
I have many suits. And yes.
Tell me you don't have a briefcase.
No, I don't have a briefcase. But I do have a little binder that I carry. I can't use my book bag.
Your like black backpack that yes. you always threw around here?
Every single day.
So it turned out good for you. Like
things
happy,
worked out.
The happy ending.
No, there's no doubt.
Right.
There's no doubt.
I tell everybody that like there's no better story that I've ever heard than the Jake Delhomme story. So undrafted, NFL Europe, the whole deal, end up coming here. 03, that's why you're here, because we're this 20-year celebration
right.
of the franchise starting, right?
No, there's no doubt. And it's the 10-year anniversary of our Super Bowl team.
Wow.
Kind of crazy.
Feels super like crazy.
Yeah. But no, it's a I was lucky. I think I was lucky because one, football worked out, but two, I had very good coaches along the way that helped me. But I had a home life that was non-controversial. I mean, I don't know any way to pull it. I mean,
well, Carrie, your wife is like salt of the earth, you know?
She's gold, man. I got lucky.
High school sweetheart.
High school sweetheart.
That's how you do it.
We started dating when we were 15 years old, and we have our 20-year high school reunion this year. And
oh, my God.
It's a I was lucky. So when you have a home life that's easy, and I didn't have to worry about all these outside distractions and things like that, I could really concentrate on football.
You're saying it's easier to not like go out, stay out late, be tired, feeling sick in the morning, have crazy people calling you. That's easier?
It's amazing. It's a new concept.
Wow.
It's a new concept.
Well, you should have said you came in, and I knew you're here, and I know you have a way with words and inspiring people. So this morning when you were in the building, I said, hey, Coach Rivera, we need Jake to talk to the team. He's like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's have him in there. And when you came in, I had my notepad out. I was taking notes, and I've heard all your stuff before. So you talked to the team about how special it is to be a Panther, which I thought was so true. I mean, that's what I think and I believe. You talked about how you miss it still, even after all those years. And then, but when you were done, man, the guys came up to me and they're like, hey, how great was it to play with Delhomme? You know, that guy, like, I was like ready to go out there and play right now. You know, I was so fired up. I said, that's Jake, man. Everybody had his back because he was like, just the guy. He was one of the guys.
Well, and it's the truth. I mean, I wasn't feeding them just a line of BS. I mean, that's the honest to God truth. I mean, 6 years in New Orleans, 7 years here, one in Cleveland, and I finished up half a season in Houston. And
stealing.
It's no, I actually had to play a little bit. That was the hardest I've ever had to like really work because, I mean, you show up November 30th on a Tuesday after a workout and a physical, and you get a playbook that night. And, okay, you're backing up this weekend. You're backing up a fifth-round pick rookie, and I'm looking at an offense that is gibberish. I've never run any. So
the zone stuff, right?
It was just the verbiage was the hardest part. You know, and you want guys to believe in you. I think that's the biggest thing. You need those other 10 guys, those 20 eyes looking at you, just believing every single thing you say.
Well, you're that old quarterback that they signed, there, and guys are like, wait, is he retired?
Well, the good thing that worked out.
Who is this guy?
Exactly, but 6 days later, they signed Jeff Garcia.
Right. Who was even older.
So Jeff was 41. I was 36 turning 37, right around that. And so Jeff was 41, so it was it worked out great. But
plus you could drive, right? Because you guys were stationed
3 hours
back home.
Yes, we were back in Louisiana. We moved back in August of 11.
Right.
Had a couple of teams contact me. It was right after the lockout.
You called me. You're like, one of them was like Miami or something.
That
right?
was in October. I had a couple of teams in camp, but we moved back, got the kids in school, and then Miami contacted me in October. Chad Henne went down.
Yep.
And Matt Moore was the starter. And it would have been very easy to go down there because, one, with Matt, our relationship, but two, the offensive coordinator was the guy I had in Cleveland the year before, Brian Daboll. And I slept on it, and
you didn't want to go because you called me.
Yeah.
I knew you didn't want to go. Like you were asking for somebody to.
Yeah,
tell you
I didn't
something.
Want to go because I just, it just didn't. I don't know. I think a lot of things. They were 0-4, and it was a lame duck head coach. And
well, it worked
Sperano.
Out good.
It worked
you
out great.
The Texans, you could drive the city
and,
girls. So let's go back to the 03 season a little bit because when I got here, I was drafted in the first round. I showed up right. I had no idea who anybody was. I'd kind of heard of Rodney Pete. Then there was you, who spoke funny as could be, being from out west, and Chris Winkie. I mean, I had no idea. So we get into the season, and that first, you know, it's like you've relived it 100,000 times.
Right.
But, like, I still remember at halftime of the first game against the Jacksonville, we were down, like, 17-0.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, is this how every half of football for my whole career is going to be? And you came in, we started rolling, man, and that was it. But that team that year, I didn't know how special it was because I was so young and dumb. That was the best team I've ever been on. It's my first year.
And that's the thing that you don't realize. I think if you're older, like Kevin Donnelly realized.
Oh, yeah.
There's one vivid memory from that game. Whenever we intercepted, I think it was Corey Detmer, when Donovan McNabb got hurt in the championship game, and Detmer was in, and we intercepted him for the last time, and we just had to kneel on the ball.
Yep.
And when we were in the huddle, I remember vividly Kevin Donnelly crying.
Yeah.
And because that's a 13-year veteran that he truly understood what it meant. And here I was. That was my seventh year. I knew it, but it was my first year starting, so
I was clueless.
Yeah. And you realize how special those moments were.
I tell people now that if I played in the Super Bowl now, I'd be way more nervous than I was as a rookie. Because I didn't realize you don't even know how sweet that opportunity is. You know
you
what
think
I mean?
It's going to happen again.
Oh, God,
you
yes.
think,
like,
oh, we'll be back.
We'll get in close games. We'll always win them in overtime. We'll go to Indy and beat Peyton Manning.
Right.
You know, we'll beat.
And that's the thing that, you know, college kids that come from big programs, you're going to get your behind beat in the NFL. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Right. Not everybody could be a raging Cajun.
Hey, watch out now. We're back-to-back bowl wins, son. You need to look out.
You called some games for them, too.
I did one last year, yes.
How'd that go?
They went great.
Did you do your homework?
I did my homework.
I'm
paranoid about not being prepared about something. So I did all my homework, and they were playing Tulane, who was really a bad football team.
Right.
So I had to do some research on them. But no, it went good.
I'll tell you what, when I think about playing with you, though, I think of the locker room more than I think of anything, just the hijinks. You and Steve Smith got in a battle about who could dump the ice-cold water on the most guys while they were going to the bathroom in the stall, and that's just an enjoyable experience. Have you ever had ice-cold ice water, a whole, like, a five-gallon bucket dumped on your head when you're using the restroom? That's fun.
Look,
thanks a lot.
I was worried about guys, because you see the young guys don't take care of their bodies after practice. So, I mean, they need to have some cold plunges. I mean, that's what you worry about.
It got so bad, though, that guys would be in there, and we'd have to have the door open on the stall.
Exactly.
Just to protect, so you could at least know it was coming. Or you, what'd you do? You got an umbrella.
I got
time.
An umbrella. That was the best comeback I've ever had in my life. I had an umbrella, and I had it in my sweatpants hidden. And I went in there and I made it known that I needed to go into the restroom.
Yeah.
And sure enough, had the umbrella cocked up, and whenever they dumped it, and it went all over. And I got up and I looked, and the whole team was like staring, looking, waiting just to laugh at me. And they saw that in the eyes, so like, you got to be kidding me. So that was classic.
The worst part about that whole process, though, is then all the toilet paper would be soaking wet, and that's a difficult. That's a difficult process. I'm soaking wet toilet paper. I tried one time. I got here real early. I was like, I'm gonna get Jake. I got a whole bag of thing of like
rice
and stuff, a big bucket, and I ran and I put it like in a. There's a little shelf in your locker, like
it's a cubby hole
tucked behind. You can't see. And I ran fishing line, and I put like all these swivels and everything. And I ran it and I tied it to your
my chair.
So the idea was. You open your chair, you just come in, you pull your chair back, and the rice dumps all over everything. It's a huge pain in the butt. You have to clean it up. But now, I would have known. So there was a flaw in my plan. Do you remember? You knew what it was there because I moved your pants.
You moved my fleece pants.
I had to move your fleece pants to hang them to hide the line.
Fish noir.
Well, see, now I know guys are such creatures of habit that that wouldn't work. But you came in, you discovered it instantly.
Yes. I wasn't a neat freak, but I knew where my stuff was in my locker, and I knew I was probably one of the last guys to leave. And Jackie Miles, they knew after like week one, they cleaned up my locker for game day or tried to make it neat. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. You can't do that. I know where things are, and I have shoes in a certain place. I wear these for practice. And I saw the
your
string.
Little turf shoes that you'd always wear, too. Yes. You didn't even wear real cleats, usually.
I did.
Well, you're not doing a whole lot of cutting when you're Jake Delhomme at quarterback.
Well, especially when you play here, you're playing on a great field.
Right.
It's not like you're playing in Chicago late in the year where you might need to wear something.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was good.
My favorite Jake Delhomme story in a game, though, is at Chicago in 05.
Yeah.
So we went up there earlier in the year. And
I got sacked eight times.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but there was eight
sacks.
Yeah,
but I started off the game bad. I threw a pick on the first third down, and then the crowd got into it, and next thing you know,
so eight
I became
sacks,
a tackling dummy.
Eight sacks into this game. We lose. I ended up yelling at one of the reporters after the game because they asked me, how does it feel when the O-line gets up eight sacks? Only time I've ever yelled at a reporter, I said, how do you think it feels? And I lost my cool. I had to apologize. But so we go back up there. We make the playoffs as a wild card. We beat the Giants. We go back up there, and like all week, their defensive ends were saying, like, oh, we got eight last time.
Right.
We should be able to do at least that. And
right.
Urlacher and the big defense. And we go up there and we beat them, right? It was great. And Coach Rivera's D coordinator. He
Correct.
Still gets mad about us throwing deep ball to Smitty early on. But we're getting ready to kneel down, and we're being – our sportsmanship was good, but maybe like we were –
we were giddy, and we were in our huddle.
Right, because we're going to the NFC Championship
game. Yes, we were very proud and enjoying that moment.
That was an overachieving team.
100%, because the Bears had a bye. They were the first.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had number one seed, their defense.
Right.
Right.
So, Urlacher yells, hey! We go up the line, and we're laughing. I'm like, yeah, act like you've been here before.
Yeah.
And Jake says, hey, Urlacher! You know what? We have been here before, and you ain't!
I did, I did, you know, we know what it's like.
Oh,
yeah, so
God,
we know
I started,
what it's like to be here.
Yeah,
I started
laughing so hard because I was like, oh, my God, that is why everyone loves you, man.
And then you remember what happened right after? When I knelt down, because we had two or three plays to kneel down, so I knelt down, and there was still some jawing, so we wait. We have to kneel down another time.
Yeah.
And that's when Tommy Harris jumped across the ball and tried to – decapitate me, and that's when Tutan Reyes and all. Yeah, it was a kind of a free fall, and then we took off. We were saying bear down,
bear down
on this,
bear down on this loss.
Yes.
I guess is what
that's what we were saying.
Right,
so
bear down. So now that you're a horse man, so I call you. The one of the things I like about our relationship is that when it's like 6 a.m. and I'm driving the state, I know Jake Delhomme, even though he's on Central Time, right? Your Central Time is going to be up with the horse. So, like, what's your current day like?
Alarm rings at 5.
Okay, sleep in a little. 5.
5. I go to bed early. Let's get there. I like to go to bed. Alarm rings at 5.
What time do you go to bed?
Oh, hopefully by 10.
All right.
You know, somewhere around there.
So you're at that age in your life where it's like 6 hours is good enough sleep.
7 for me.
7.
So 10 to 5, that's, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it works.
All right.
Get up, eat me a little banana.
That's your breakfast?
I eat it. Well, I have something at the track. I eat a little banana, okay, give me a cup of coffee.
I'm we go to the track.
And we start earlier in the summer because of the heat.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, when it gets, you know, mid-September, I won't get there till 6. So okay. I'll sleep in a little bit. But, you know, we do all the horse deal. And
what's the horse deal?
Well, it's kind of like practice. You get ready. No, I don't ride.
You don't get out there with your
pants?
I
wanted to be a jockey until I was 5.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I used to ride the back of the sofa. At my house and whip the sofa, and I used to ride my bike up and down the driveway. Whipping the bike, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, I was,
Then you grew. All right, so now we're at the horse.
So we had the track, and it all depends on what we have scheduled for that day. Okay. Who's just going to walk for 45 minutes on the walker, or who's going to actually train.
Right.
Get on the track. You might jog one for 2 miles. You might gallop one. Some might breeze, and I would equate a breeze to a scrimmage.
Really?
Yes, like you scrimmage
like in the gates.
No, that would be like a preseason game.
Oh, okay.
You know, so just kind of, and that's and it all depends. And you're looking at this condition book, and basically that's the schedule,
yeah,
so to speak. And so you're trying to plan. Okay, we're going to run so and so. Let's say Zip Motion is the name of one of my horses.
Yeah, like an old formation.
Exactly. And so Zip's going to run hopefully this day. So we have you work backwards.
Okay.
I'd like to give him a work. Meaning a scrimmage about a week out.
Okay.
Give him a couple of days off and then kind of just slowly get him ready to, you know.
So well, it's sounds a like it's a lot more
yeah,
information
you cut me
than
off,
I need.
So,
well,
exactly.
It's getting boring, I'll be honest with you.
My juices, I was starting to sit up in my chair.
No,
I was starting to get
excited.
This
isn't a horse show, Jake. I just picture you get there, you got like coffee in your hand and like your banana, and then there's like your workers doing all the work, and you're just like, hey, boy, let's get it. This horse is gone today.
No. No. The coffee's done.
How's the horses running today? How's Zip Motion doing? We got to work backwards from that schedule. We got a scrimmage today. Is that how it is?
No.
And then you go home at like noon.
No. I
take
go home
a nap,
before that. No.
Take a nap.
No. Well, that's when I...
Go to the bank.
You told me I was old this week because I left because I called you at 10:30 your time, 9:30 my time. And I didn't leave a message, and you called me that afternoon, and you chewed me out, saying, that's when you're old and you have nothing to do, and you call
well,
somebody
you know
at 9.
I'm at work. I'm in the stadium.
Well, I, just wanted to,
I don't have my phone on.
Well, I just wanted you to see that I called.
Like the courtesy callback?
Yeah. Hey, look, I called you back.
The check-in.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Well, I think you got a lot of time on your hands, and that's why you need to come up around here more, because the fans, we got the new thing where we keep pounding, and they pound the drum. We've had Hoover, we've had Wesley Walls, we've had Rucker.
I think that's in the plans.
All right.
I think that's in the plans.
I'll be teared up when that happens.
I'll probably be teared up too.
Yeah.
It's a day right before a game. That's exciting time.
It's awesome. Okay, so 10 years from the team.
Right.
And we're back and at it. And you know, it's funny, Steve and I are still here. And so we had the dinner last night with all the guys, you know, and talking about the good old days. And you ever watched the show The Office?
Yes.
Yeah. So Andy Bernard had a quote on there that said, I wish you knew when it was the good old days so you could enjoy it, right? And it's funny because I think about that. So you reminisce about times, and it made me feel about how fun the locker room is. It made me feel so special to still have an opportunity to do it.
Well,
right?
Yeah, because I'm 38.
Yeah.
I miss it every day.
Right.
I wish I could still play. The arm feels great.
Yeah.
But it's the rest of the body, and I mean that's Mother Nature.
You took a few hits.
Yeah,
my bad. Sorry about that. You took a few hits.
Hey, you were great. You were there for the fumble in case I fumbled.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
At least if you get beat, pick up the fumble.
Exactly. You were
so
great.
So we're talking about the locker room antics, and I was like, I came in here this morning. I was setting my stuff up for this, and there was a cockroach in here on the floor. And so that cup right there, I was chasing around this room trying to catch it because I was like, you know what? I need to put this in somebody's helmet.
That's what it's about.
And I always say, the longer you're in the NFL, the less mature you become.
And that's the hardest part. When you leave the game, that's what you miss the most, the camaraderie of the guys, because you're grown men playing a kid sport, getting paid handsomely.
Oh, yeah.
And you get to act like a kid in the locker room.
You enjoy it so much because we were out there for a walkthrough today before we started. One of the young tight ends that I don't even really know was stretching, bending over, touching his toes. And I just got him in a full-on headlock and just kept it locked in until he about passed out. I don't think that's going to happen if I go to work at Wells Fargo.
No, I don't think. I think you'd be in HR.
Right. And he's like, what do you do? I was like, let's see. You going to get out? You going to tap out? What is it? And they tried to hit me between the legs. I said, that's illegal in the UFC, and he couldn't get out. So I just had to let him know.
And that's what
where
you
he
miss.
Stood. That's it. But I miss you, man. It's great seeing you. Just so you know, your legend lives strong here.
Well,
without getting too sentimental on you.
And, well, I appreciate it, and I know our, you know, we were back here, unfortunately, for a funeral last month, my wife and kids and I, and it's you know, we have phenomenal memories, there's no doubt, and Charlotte always has a place in our heart.
A big place.
Well, there's no, and we miss it. I mean, hell, my wife, when we walked into Harris Teeter, my wife almost teared up. She was like,
Oh my gosh.
She said, my heart. She goes, I said, well, I guess so. I said, we paid the light bill
in
this place.
You come back and visit whenever you want.
We will.
And we'll, you can stay at our house. If you're not, you know, staying at the owner or the head coach or, you know, one of your big high roller friends that, here in Charlotte. Okay?
That's how I roll. Yeah. I'd love to stay at the Gross House, you know, but it being it's so small.
It is. It's tiny.
I don't know if we have room.
It's more like a cottage.
Yeah.
See you,
compound.
Bye.
That wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.